fantasy football today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
If you still draft quarterbacks in round one, we're here to help.
Let's go.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Yippee-ki-yay, it's fantasy football today. Fun show we got for you. Welcome, everybody. Recording on Monday afternoon, July 16th. Kick it off a big week. It's tight end week here on Fantasy Football Today and on CBSSports.com. We got some sleeper tight ends for you. Not all tight end talk today. We're putting Mike Evans under a microscope, hopefully reviewing some average draft position and much more. Emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Hello, friends. How are we doing out there? Dave, Jamie, Heath.
What's up, Double A? How are you doing, sir?
I have been buoyed by Bruce Willis's announcement last night. Buoyed.
You know, I haven't heard anything about it.
Oh, please.
We'll
talk about it later.
No one has sent me anything on social media about whether or not Bruce Willis said something about a movie that he acted in.
You do realize you're still wrong, right?
I don't realize that, actually. I don't. Well,
you should, because there's the person who was the character of someone created by someone else, and the person who created said character, who wrote the movie...
Yeah, I don't feel it anymore.
Hear the full quote before you decide these things. Because what everybody thinks is the full quote is not the full quote.
Don't let me down like that. All right, we'll talk about that later. I got some very important advice for everybody. You got to start your fantasy football league right. You got to book your draft party at Buffalo Wild Wings at B-Dubs. You're going to get a free draft kit and enjoy a draft feast of boneless wings, three sides, three shareables at a special price only at Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports at participating locations while supplies last. All right, quick segment here. I mean, super quick. Without any explanation, just give me a name. Which sleeper tight end are you going to be talking about today? Heath.
I like Jake Butt, and I cannot lie.
Jamie.
Ricky Seals-Jones.
Dave.
George Kittle, but I feel a little inferior about this because the other two names that the guys listed are legitimate, like, deep, deep sleepers. Everybody's drafting Kittle.
That's okay. I don't know about that. You think everybody's drafting Kittle?
He's going to get picked in every single draft. I don't know if there's going to be many drafts where Jake Butt gets picked. Seals Jones is working his way into the final rounds of some drafts, though.
All right. Yeah, so that's coming up later. Like I said, it's tight end week. We got great tight end coverage. CBSSports.com/fantasy/football. Also get the newsletter, CBSSports.com/FFTDaily. This is not going to be our tight end preview. That's coming later on in the offseason. Closer to draft time, but talking tight ends. First, though, let's put a second-round pick under the microscope. So we've done Gurley, Bell, Zeke, Johnson, Gordon, Barkley, Hunt, Fournette, Hopkins, Brown, Beckham, Julio, Thomas, A.J. Green, Keenan Allen. Let's talk about Mike Evans, guys. Number 23 in non-PPR, number 17 in PPR. Signed a big contract in the offseason. 5 years, $82.5 million. Just two seasons ago, after 2016, this guy was the number two wide receiver in PPR, number three in non-PPR in 2016. And he's had a roller coaster kind of career. So, roller coaster going up this year, down. What are we thinking for Mike Evans? Heath, why don't you kick it off?
It all comes down to the same thing it comes down to for every wide receiver, targets and touchdowns. And they have a lot of weapons in Tampa Bay, and they really spread the ball around. That 1 year when you talked about when Mike Evans was the number two wide receiver in fantasy, he had like 1,253,000 targets.
175.
I don't see the way that their roster is currently constructed, a way for him to get 175 targets this year.
Fellas?
He did average 9.1 targets per game. Is that a number to your liking, Heath?
9.1 targets per game.
Yeah.
That seems like a good number.
That's very
good.
I
wouldn't mind that from a receiver on my fantasy team. And I think he can hit that again this year.
You know what's funny? You say 9.1. That's 145.6 over a 16-game season. I am projecting 144 targets for Mike Evans.
Perfect. So you agree with me that right around that 9-target mark is exactly where he'll be. Where he needs to improve is in his red zone
efficiency.
That's
factoring his how many games?
16.
Because he was kicked out of a game, right?
Last year was
no,
he was
didn't.
Suspended for a
game.
Yeah,
so it's 15 games.
Right. He played, he had 100 and, last year Mike Evans had 135 targets in 15
still
games.
Still 9.1 per game.
Yes.
Right. So if he had played 16, like he would have been right up around where Heath has him projected to.
And hold on. Let's put that in perspective. 144 targets last year. That's what AJ Green had. That would have been eighth most at the position. Okay. Now,
yeah, I think his targets are great. Just he was exceptionally great the year before. I mean, 175 targets is unrealistic for most players.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, Heath, you were a little concerned because at the end of the season, you know, those targets were not evenly distributed. At the end of the season, looking like the last six games or so, there were some like five, six target games. It was looking a little dicey. Remember we were talking at the end of the year, start or sit Mike Evans? We really didn't know what to do with him. And I know he had a big week 16 or 17, but he slumped at the end of the year for sure.
Well, and he has to be a very high target guy because he only over his career has caught about 52% of those targets. So he gets nine targets a game. He's going to have about five catches a game.
Yeah. Weeks 15 and 16, he did very well. Weeks 13 and 14, he was terrible. He had 55 total yards or something, somewhere around there. Anyway, what are we thinking? Is he a top eight wide receiver? Are you guys optimistic about him?
No. I don't think he's a top 10 wide receiver.
I think he's a top 10 wide receiver. And I think his touchdowns bounce back to where he's closer to 10.
I think he's a top 10 receiver by default. And he's got.
What does that mean by default?
Because I don't know if I can name 10 other wide receivers that I would gladly take
top 10
over Mike Evans. Well, if I'm going to put him in the top 10, then I think he's going to finish in the top 10. Jamie's right about the touchdowns, by the way, because he was awful in the red zone last year. He caught 5 of 19 targets inside the 20. That's a 26.3% catch rate. That is tied for dead last among receivers with at least 13 red zone targets.
And I do think the touchdowns will bounce back as well. I just think they bounce back to like 8, not the 12 that he's had twice in his career.
I still think it's hard to double team him.
He also,
with everybody else that they have there, I think it's hard to double team him.
He also has what should be, I think, more stable quarterback play over the course of the season because he played two games at least where Jameis started and Fitzpatrick finished, which is an adjustment. And we don't know exactly how much Jameis was hurting before they shut him down for that period of time, which clearly is going to impact everybody in that game, in that passing game. So I think just knowing that, okay, Fitzpatrick's the guy early in the season, and he played well with Fitzpatrick.
Great with Fitzpatrick, yeah.
And then you know, Jameis should come back. And look, we've talked about this, that Jameis was on pace to lead the NFL in passing yards had he played the 11 full games over the course of 16 games. So if Jameis is right, that should lead to, I think, better production across the board. He's still going to be the most targeted guy on that team, I think, by far. And, you know, whether he's the red zone leader, I think that could be split among the two tight ends, him and then everybody else in some order. He has what could be, you know, Adam, you talked about this. I know you asked the other two guys on when I was gone. But, you know, when we did the show about who's Todd Gurley at the receiver position, he could be that guy. Someone who was great 2 years ago, bad last year, bounce back potential, or you know, another comparison at the same position is DeAndre Hopkins, who had
exactly,
a down year
yeah.
and then bounced back in a big way.
You guys like T.Y. Hilton or Mike Evans?
Evans.
Evans has a much higher ceiling.
He does?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen it. Two of his 4 years, we've seen it. And yeah. That's another thing to keep in mind with him is that he's one of these receivers that does have the potential to finish as a top five, maybe even top three, fantasy wideout.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think T.Y. Hilton, like if Andrew Luck's Andrew Luck for 16 games, I think T.Y. Hilton has that potential as well.
Yeah, but T.Y. Hilton's ceiling, which we've seen, is what, number five? Evan's ceiling is number one.
Right, because of the touchdowns more than anything else.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah,
I don't agree that Evans has number one ceiling in
well, he was
the current.
One.
He was number one 2 years ago.
Yes.
They've just changed the way they distribute the ball on their offense.
True, and the quarterback for the Colts is not right.
Well, maybe.
Maybe.
We don't know.
We'll see.
Well, he's not the same.
We don't know.
We do know. He's not the same.
What we don't better. We don't know that. We know
no,
that.
He could be better. He's not. He's just not the same guy that he was. I mean, he's gone through shoulder reconstruction, had to change the way he throws the ball. That's not the same.
That's a really tough call for me, for Hilton and Evans. I feel like the safe play is Evans, because of Andrew Luck. But then you get to like Tyreek Hill, Doug Baldwin, Mike Evans, and I think Heath, you're the one who has Baldwin and Hill ahead of Evans, and Dave and Jamie do not.
There's no way I would take Tyreek Hill over Mike Evans. No chance.
It's a little bold, Baldwin? Heath. It's a little bold.
Baldwin potentially, because I could see similar type production for him, but Tyreek Hill is going to, I think, take a little bit of a downward spiral. A little bit.
What's a little downward spiral? Because you think of a downward spiral, and that's just like...
Okay, so he will slip a little bit. Okay.
There we go. All right, we can wrap it up. Good stuff on Mike Evans. People are going to be taking him late second round in a 12-team league. Maybe he spills into the early third round. Maybe it's not that late. I could see him going anywhere. Right now, 21, 22 is his ADP. So I think once you get to the 20th overall pick, Mike Evans comes into play. Last one, Evans or Gronk?
Ooh, I think I'm at the point where I'll take Gronk.
Yeah, I think I will too.
All righty. Please vote for us, podcastawards.com. We're nominated, or you can help us get nominated, podcastawards.com. In the sports and recreation and people's choice categories, it's very easy to do. Just podcast awards, that's plural, .com. Singular podcast, plural awards.com. CBSSports.com/FFT. That's where you need to go if you want to sign up for a new league. We have the best leagues, the best product. We're getting better and better. In-app commissioner tools are getting easier to use. More dynasty-oriented stuff. Custom categories. Play as many opponents as you want every week. You're going to love playing on CBS. CBSSports.com/FFT. Now, guys, we've got a lot of emails. I'm loving it. I really appreciate it. FantasyFootball@CBSi.com. Getting a recurring criticism. I think it's the most legit criticism of our show. Would you like to guess what it is?
You don't want us to guess what it is.
Not enough Azer singing is typically what we get. The other thing is not enough auction talk. So, and totally legit. Good criticism, good feedback. Let's do that. $100 budget. How much for Mike Evans?
You just stumped us completely.
Yeah,
with
well,
the
we
idea
don't do auctions.
Of a $100 budget.
About $20.
Yeah.
Okay. How much for Todd Gurley?
Mid-30s. Yeah. Okay. Maybe even higher in PPR. 34.
All right. So that's your gauge. Let's say 35% of your budget's going on the number one pick in the draft, or the highest, most expensive player in the draft, and Mike Evans comes in at around $20, we'll say. 20% of your budget. And we'll do more. I will incorporate that more. It's important. And it's a little bit easier to compare people round by round rather than by dollar value. But we'll do that. We'll help the auction folk. And we'll do certainly auction themed episodes at some point. Big news. We got Le'Veon Bell news. He is expected to play this year under the franchise tag. Did not come to a long term agreement. Adam Schefter said earlier today on Monday, I know you're probably hearing this on Tuesday, but on Monday he said, Schefter said it's possible that Bell could sit out half the season if he doesn't get a long-term deal. That doesn't seem too realistic, does it? At this point?
There's no chance that happened.
Has it ever happened? It did happen once, right?
I mean, Vincent Jackson comes to mind.
That's what it was.
Vincent Jackson?
Vincent Jackson sat out for
didn't,
all but
didn't
six
Didn't work
years.
Out well for the rest of his career.
No. Now, yeah, I have all these stats about D'Angelo Williams when Le'Veon Bell was out 2 years ago, but I'm not even going to read them because he was great, but it for fantasy. All right, so look, his agent says this is probably Le'Veon's last year there. They don't want to pay the player. They want to pay the position. Are you guys at all worried about Le'Veon Bell and this potentially toxic situation?
Not to the point of dropping him yet, but I think it should be a concern for anybody drafting in dynasty leagues.
It makes me just a little nervous. I hope my tone conveyed the nervousness. But I'm not. I agree with Jamie. I'm not dropping him yet.
When did he show up last year?
Right before the start of the season.
How did he do last year?
He was terrible in the first month.
Yeah, he really was. I mean, Jamie and I think we put Bell under the microscope.
Yes, for probably, the second time?
I think it was the first time.
Are you sure?
I feel pretty good about it. And yeah, he did struggle at the outset for sure. And he only averaged 4 yards per carry, and that's really low for Le'Veon Bell. Sorry about the yards per carry mention.
It just shows you how good he was the way that he finished. But I think there is some cause for concern. And Adam, as we talked about, if he was full go, no issues, contract signed, shows up, you know, for start of training camp, I would move him ahead of Gurley in PPR leagues. I think, Heath, you have him there because of what he does in the passing game, which should be better than what Gurley does in the passing game. But, again, when you start looking at those guys at the top of the draft, you're nitpicking, and that slow start could give not just Gurley but a couple of other guys an advantage over him also.
The only thing I will say that I was a little worried about if they signed him to a long-term deal was they started actually thinking about his future, because they just work him like crazy.
They do. It's crazy.
I would expect they're going to continue to work him like crazy.
Yeah.
You only got him kick him to the curb.
You only got him for one more year. Give him all the touches.
They could transition tag him after this year.
And he's only 26, so it's not like with, you know, DeMarco Murray when he was leaving the Cowboys when he was 28 or 27.
All right, so Le'Veon Bell's still a top two running back, right?
Yes. Now, again, that's contingent on when he reports.
$35.
Now, I spoke to him. You know, we talked about this. I spoke to him at the Super Bowl. You know, that was at the point the report came out that, you know, he would consider retirement or, as he said, sit out the season. And I said, look into the camera. We were doing, you know, something for our CBS Sports HQ. Look into the camera and tell everybody you're not going to retire. And he's like, I can't do that. Or you're not going to sit out the season. He said, I can't do that. So, I mean, maybe he is steadfast in, you know, his, you know, belief that he should be paid what he deserves to be paid. But, again, I find it very hard to believe that he would miss any game checks, let alone half a season.
Did you ask him, did you say please? Or were like, because maybe that's why he wouldn't do it.
I said, do it now.
Do it now. All right, Doug Peterson did not say Carson Wentz will be ready for week one. He didn't say he wouldn't be ready for week one. He said it's going to be a doctor's decision. Is there a fantasy analysis here with this Carson Wentz item?
Well, nobody's drafting him at his ADP right now anyway, right?
No, his ADP is pretty low.
I did look to Adam's reaction, and you didn't give me one, so now I'm disheartened.
His ADP, depending on the site, like in those best ball leagues, it's like in the 90s. In Fantasy Pros, it's 59th for Carson Wentz.
But both places, it's about fifth or sixth quarterback, right?
I think he's anywhere from like 5 to 8.
Yeah, not sure. So, is 60th too early? If Aaron Rodgers is going in the third round, 30th overall, is 60 too early for Carson Wentz?
Well, you're going to see a lot of ADP fluctuation with the fishbowl going on with the super flex leagues. So it's going to change.
That's true.
How you look at some of these things. You have to really sort of filter a lot of these ADPs.
All right. Well, is 60 overall too high, too low, just right for Carson Wentz?
I think it's too high.
It's way too high.
Okay. What's good then? 80 overall?
Closer to 70.
I think just given how we're going to see quarterbacks get drafted. Yes. Somewhere in the 70 to 80 range is probably safe.
All right, for Carson Wentz. Jay Ajayi, according to Philly Voice's Jimmy Kemsky, Jay Ajayi has a good chance to have a much higher workload this year. That's pretty big. Now, according to the Charlotte Observer, Jordan Rodrigue, he predicts Christian McCaffrey won't get many more carries than he had last year. That's also big. McCaffrey only had 117 carries. Are you guys moved either way on Jay Ajayi or Jordan or Christian McCaffrey?
Nope.
No.
Yeah, because like there's room for Ajayi to have a bigger workload than he had in Philly last year and still have about what we're expecting. He averaged basically 11 touches a game in Philadelphia, and it got bigger as the season went on. I think we're all expecting him to average more than 11 touches a game this year.
Cool. All right. And before we get into tight ends, we got a Twitter poll to talk about from Mr. Heath Cummings. But we have this email of the day, Kevin from a suburb south of New York City.
Edison, New Jersey.
I've always believed Die Hard to be a true Christmas classic, but during the roast of Bruce Willis, John McClane himself said Die Hard is not a Christmas movie. How does this change the opinion of this being a Christmas classic? On a fantasy football note, how does adding points for punt return and kick return yards to individual players change your rating for such players? Which do you want to tackle first here? Adam's right.
It does
right.
Not change our opinion at all.
Okay, it should change your opinion. I mean, it's
you still feel like you're going to win this argument?
I mean, I feel like I kind of won last night. I feel like you remember the reaction when I said Odell Beckham was better than AJ Green? The backlash. People ridiculed me. This is
and
my.
And then Beckham got injured. And
that's not what you said. You said AJ Green is not in his class.
He's not.
Okay, that's a different thing.
He isn't. I'm right. Nobody thinks they're in the same class. Nobody.
They're in the same class.
They're not in the same class. They're not even in the same draft class. But no, I thought. Come on, Bruce Willis. So how about punt return and kick return yards? Which players would stand to benefit from that? Nobody. Okay.
Tariq Cohen. For sure.
How about Will Fuller?
If he has that role.
I think they're going to return punts.
They're looking at Kiki Kuti.
He could do kickoff returns
in that role too.
Quite possibly Darren Sproles.
So wait, we're done with the diehard conversation now?
Well, I mean, Adam's wrong, so it's not worth discussing.
Nobody's changing their mind. That's the bottom line. Like, nobody's changing their mind.
Do you want to hear what Bruce Willis said?
Yes, I do.
He said, quote, "Die Hard is not a Christmas movie. It's a damn Bruce Willis movie."
It is. That's exactly what I'm saying. It's a Bruce Willis action flick with some Christmas sprinkled in. That's a great way to think of it.
So Home Alone's a Macaulay Culkin film?
No, Home Alone is a Christmas movie. Home Alone is all about Christmas. It's all about the themes of Christmas. Family, being with your family. Die Hard is an action movie.
So far you described Die Hard too.
No, I haven't.
Yeah, it is. Maybe it's about trying to get to his family. We've had this.
And he never gets there.
So he does. He gets to his ex-wife who becomes his wife again.
He never sees his kids. What kind of Christmas movie doesn't have kids?
They do have kids.
They don't have kids. There's no kids. They're in it for 3 seconds. There's no kids.
But they're in it.
So if you haven't seen Zoe for a week, do you still have a cat?
Oh, please. That is a dreadful argument. And don't ever joke about me not seeing Zoe for a week.
Oh, also Tyler Lockett.
Tyler Lockett, Tariq Cohen.
Julian Edelman could go back to returning punts for the Patriots, and Antonio Brown still on occasion returns punts for the Steelers.
Tyreek Hill does that for Kansas City every now and then.
I don't like these types
of
leagues.
Oh, Ted Ginn.
Yeah.
I do like these types of leagues.
And it really depends on the scoring. You know, if it's one for every 10 yards, it's probably fairly significant.
Oh, very. Especially kickoffs. Like, there's not a lot of yardage in punts.
Right. Yeah, that's true. So
Bruce Willis also thinks they haven't actually caught the guy that killed JFK.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, I spent an hour today looking for dumb Bruce Willis quotes.
That is not helping my argument. Not helping my argument. Let's Twitter poll it up. What do you got for us today?
Bruce Willis said that fantasy football is dumb.
No.
I made up those last
two. Bruce Willis guy. These are very typical Adam Azer polls, just because I'm writing a piece on these four tight ends for our tight end week. Who has the most fantasy football upside in 2018? Greg Olsen, Jimmy Graham, Delanie Walker, or Evan Engram?
Yeah, except I usually do three people. You took it one step further.
And I'm curious what everybody's answer is, because I don't think the public got this one right.
The public is going to say Engram.
That is who they said.
That's who I'd say.
Who did I vote for?
I don't know who you voted for. It doesn't show me Adam Azer's vote.
I'm going to look.
If you looked at your Twitter account, you would see a little thing.
How do you not remember who you voted for?
Like, who do you think?
What's
the answer?
I'm torn between Olsen and Engram, so I don't know who I voted for.
I think it's Olsen and Graham just because of the touchdowns.
Well, at least Olsen can get you some decent yardage on top of the touchdowns.
And I
don't know if Graham can do that.
Like, part of this is about how we view upside. Young guys always have more upside. But there's just not I don't think there's the targets available in New York for Engram to have that much.
I disagree. I think the targets can be there.
I voted for Engram.
I think he's going to be their number two receiver, basically.
So, but he gets 115 targets like last year?
No, he'll fall short of that. Around 100. 90 to 100.
Under.
And he's going to be a lot more efficient, though.
No.
He'll be a bigger threat in the red zone with Odell on the field. He's a difficult cover.
He
is a fast, big guy.
He also struggled when everybody was healthy.
Well, I don't know if there's enough of a sample of everybody being healthy.
Well, he struggled when Shepard was healthy.
He was with Odell.
And he struggled in the cold. He can't play in the cold.
Sterling Shepard played three of his five best games. He did struggle in the cold, and he struggled to hold on to the ball in cold weather. That's not insignificant. So my vote was for Engram. I think I'd have to change it, though. To Greg Olsen, who for some reason is way behind Jimmy Graham. Evan Engram has 40% of the vote, Graham 36, Olsen 17%, and Delanie Walker. Delanie Walker deserves to be last on this upside list, right?
I'm not sure he deserves to get 7% of the vote, but yeah, he's probably last.
Yeah, Olsen.
He's worth putting under the microscope when we get to round 8 players under the microscope.
I'd take him over Engram.
Woo!
Delanie.
I would
over
take him
Engram?
Over Engram.
I would not, but I think he's a good fallback option for people who wait a little bit on tight end.
And then, of course, the same question, who has the most downside? Same guys, Greg Olsen, Jimmy Graham, Delanie Walker, and Evan Engram. Engram came in last at 18%, even though I think everybody has to assume that if these guys all play 16 games, he's getting the fewest amount of targets.
Yes.
He's the most talented player of this group, though. So, you know, let's not get
what?
Too... Right now, he is. If you were starting your team with one of these four tight ends, just for this year.
That's a different question.
No. Just for this year. Just for this year. He's the youngest by far. Like, Delanie Walker and Greg Olsen are straight up old.
Just for this year, I would not take him. Long term, I would take him.
Absolutely.
Just for this year, I don't. It's the same thing you're talking about in fantasy. Why would you take him?
He's a more talented player than Greg Olsen, no?
He has more potential in the future than Greg Olsen now, but no,
he's
not
faster than Greg Olsen. I don't know if he
doesn't
catch
as well as Greg Olsen. He doesn't block as well.
We don't know.
Greg Olsen.
Oh well, that's true. But I don't know that we know. Those are definitely good points. But let's not forget, like, Olsen's coming off an injury plague season, and he's what, 33?
So is Beckham. I mean, guys come back from injuries.
But he's not 33. He's going into his 12th year as a tight end. This is tough territory right now.
It is. There's reason to be concerned about Greg Olsen and say he has a lot of downside because of injury. I don't think there's reason to say when they're both healthy, Evan Engram's a better player currently than Greg Olsen. That seems like quite a stretch.
I don't remember. Did I say more talented or did I say better?
You said more talented.
Because there's a difference. There's
I
a
understand
huge difference.
Why people could take umbrage with it. I think situation dictates a lot of this too, because if Evan Engram were in Greg Olsen's situation, I think we'd feel a lot differently about Evan Engram. Or if Evan Engram were in Green Bay or even Tennessee. I think the biggest hang up for both of you is where Evan Engram plays.
No, he's in a great situation.
Well, he's got a target vacuum in Odell Beckham and a number one running back in Saquon Barkley. There's no doubt he's going to have to be efficient if he's going to produce like he did last year.
Did we get a vote for the most downside from anybody?
I voted for Delanie Walker.
He's the least exciting of the group.
Most downside for me is Graham, because if the touchdowns go away, he's going to stink.
Jimmy Graham did get the most votes. I voted for I don't know if I did vote. Can I vote in my own poll?
I don't think so.
So I voted for Evan Engram, but I think Graham would be second.
It's a really good Twitter polls, because look at the debate it's spurring here. Because, you know, Olsen and Walker. I thought today, I was thinking Delanie Walker is the Phillip Rivers of tight ends. He always finishes pretty high. He plays 15 or 16 games every year. He's not sexy, but he's dependable. But nobody's like super jazzed to draft Delanie Walker.
No, I think you look at Graham to a certain extent because you're starting to see, you know, the flaws in his game as, you know, the knee injury, I think is sort of not wrecked his career, but sidetracked his career a little bit. But Walker and Rudolph are two guys that no one wants, but certainly in Walker's case, and at least two of the last 3 years for Rudolph, you're like, he's not bad. You know, when you look at the position.
Yeah. So, this is interesting stuff here. How do we rank them? How do we rank these four?
For me, it's Olsen, Graham, Walker, Engram.
I've got Engram, Olsen, Graham, Walker, all top eight.
These are
that's non-PPR.
These guys are in the same order that I put them in the poll, except in non-PPR, I have Jimmy Graham ahead of Greg Olsen, and PPR, I have Olsen, Graham, Walker, Engram.
PPR,
and all back to back to back.
Yeah, I'm in the same order in PPR.
Olsen, Graham. Wait, what do you have? No, you don't.
Olsen, Graham, Walker, Engram.
No, Dave, you have Engram last in PPR?
No, I said Engram, Olsen.
Oh, you have the same order.
Same order for me, non-PPR and PPR.
Yeah. Okay. Fun
and
stuff.
Just so we have it in there, they're all very cheap in an auction league.
Yeah, how much would you spend on these mid-round tight ends out of $100?
$4 or $5.
Yeah.
Cool. So let's talk about some sleeper tight ends. Let's go a little bit deeper. Then we'll give you some more news and notes. Then we'll look at some ADP and finish with your emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. Also, if you want to leave us a voicemail, 954-689-3199. 954-689-3199. I am going to get hammered for saying that Evan Engram is the most talented of that group, aren't I?
No, you're not. Because obviously, as Heath's Twitter poll alluded to, most people agree with you.
I just think at this point in his career, you know, like, Graham has not aged all that well. He just hasn't been the same.
Oh, no, he's aged well. His knee has not.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's time for our fantasy football profile presented by Buffalo Wild Wings. We are profiling some unknown or underrated fantasy football players, and you listeners should be getting excited, get to know these guys. They could be the key to winning your fantasy season. So today we have three of them. We have sleepers. We have tight end sleepers. Let's start with Dave's sleeper at tight end, George Kittle.
Love the way he finished last season, double digits in fantasy points in each of his last two games. As a matter of fact, a 49ers tight end had 9 or more fantasy points in each of their last 5 games. Those are all games started by Jimmy Garoppolo. And we've said it before, Garoppolo probably learned a thing or two about throwing to his tight ends while he was in New England. And Kyle Shanahan likes to lean on his tight ends as well. 49ers really didn't make a big splash at wide receiver this offseason. They're going to get Pierre Garçon back. They drafted Dante Pettis. They're going to spread the ball around quite a bit, and I think they're going to throw a lot. And Kittle just strikes me as the type of tight end who can not only do some good things in the red zone, but can also convert third downs at midfield, maybe be a candidate to get you 50 or 60 yards per week. And I think that he's got a lot of potential in San Francisco to come through and add a great price tag in drafts. I've seen him. He's a double-digit round fantasy tight end.
George Kittle, he is going 131st overall.
Yeah, so there that's you go. Round 11.
Yeah.
Okay. End of round 11.
Heath, your sleeper.
It is Jake Butt. There's not a whole lot of things to say about Jake Butt because he didn't play football last year. But before he injured his knee in his senior year, he was viewed by a lot of people as the best tight end prospect in that class. The Broncos spent a 5th-round pick on him, knowing that he might not even be able to play last year. He's back. He was fully active at their mini camp, and they were raving about him. And there's really no competition on that roster for him. So I expect he may just be 3rd on the Broncos in targets this year.
And I will hit Control F and type butt. It's like the 6th time I've done that today. And he is going, he's basically undrafted.
So, undrafted.
Yeah. Jake Butt. Jamie, your sleeper.
Ricky Seals-Jones. There's already at least one reporter in Arizona calling him the breakout player for the Cardinals this year. He had that 2-game stretch last season against Houston and Jacksonville. He had 30 fantasy points in non-PPR in those 2 games. Jermaine Gresham is coming off of a torn Achilles that he suffered at the end of last season, and they did nothing to upgrade their tight end position. As a matter of fact, they subtracted. They got rid of Troy Nicholas. So I think you'll see Seals-Jones in an offense that is looking for their second target. It should be Christian Kirk. It could be Bryce Butler. It could be J.J. Nelson again. Obviously, David Johnson is going to be a big factor in the passing game. But Seals-Jones is one of these converted receivers playing tight end, not going to be asked to block a lot. And while I hope to see Josh Rosen as the starting quarterback for the Cardinals, the one thing I would rather see, the one reason I'd rather see Bradford be the starting quarterback is because I do like Seals-Jones a lot, and what we've seen from Bradford the last 2 times he's been the starting quarterback for more than a game. Kyle Rudolph was a star in 2016, and Zach Ertz was in the process of the breakout that we saw, you know, really come to fruition last year, but at the end of the 2016 season, the end of the 2015 season, that was where Ertz took off, was with Bradford. So Bradford likes throwing to his tight end. So there's a big ceiling, I think, for Seals-Jones if he gets more than the 28 targets he got over the course of the 10 games he played last year.
Ricky Ceiling.
Right. That's yeah, I heard that too. So Kittle, Butt, Seals-Jones, everybody's got Kittle the highest, right?
Yes.
And I bet all of us have RSJ 2nd.
I think we all do, yes. Butt's moved up a lot.
Yeah, Butt's bringing up the rear.
That is correct.
Would you take Kittle or David Njoku?
Kittle.
Kittle.
Yep.
Kittle or Jack Doyle?
Kittle.
Kittle.
Doyle.
PPR, guys? Kittle or Doyle?
It's closer in PPR. I'll still take Kittle's upside.
All right. So yeah, I see.
One thing about Kittle, which I think is hopefully encouraging, is he led them, the 49ers, for the season in red zone targets. And so, like Dave said, they didn't really add much to their receiving core. The guys that they have are not red zone guys at all. Garçon's never been a touchdown guy, certainly not a red zone producer. Goodwin's a speedster. He's not a red zone guy. You know, the one thing would be is, does Garrett Celek kind
stay
of...
Stay away, Garrett Celek.
Yeah, right. Cannibalize him a little bit. And then McKinnon, because I think McKinnon's going to be a big, big factor in the passing game.
What's this offense look like when they're inside the five? Do they have a running back that can plow between the tackles?
I mean, size doesn't matter in Shanahan's offense. He was great with Freeman in the red zone when he was healthy in Atlanta.
Yeah, but Freeman's got a little bit.
They're the same size.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know why I think of it this way, but I always feel like Freeman's a little bit thicker than Chet.
He has a bigger butt.
He does. I just didn't want to say it that way.
We've said butt a lot on this show, so. You know, it's kind of interesting.
Well, we're hosted by an ass, so.
It's kind of interesting that you talk about all these targets and not being touchdown guys for San Francisco. Garoppolo kind of had a touchdown issue last year. It's a very small sample size, but in five starts, he threw six touchdown passes.
And you ran for what, two or one?
He ran for one.
And the only person that caught multiple touchdowns from Jimmy Garoppolo?
Garrett Celek. Is that who it was?
Yep.
Oh, I got it right.
Kittle had a 100-yard game.
Yippee-ki-yay, yeah. I got it right.
I'll tell you one guy who could be annoying to Kittle and McKinnon as well is Kyle Juszczyk. Because they didn't really get an opportunity, I think, to showcase him to what they paid him 2 years ago. And that's the type of player I think that Shanahan and Garoppolo can be creative with.
And like he was his most active in the last 5 weeks. He had the second most targets from Jimmy Garoppolo.
Right. So when people say that he didn't throw the running backs, he didn't throw to Hyde. He threw it to his fullback.
That's interesting. Kyle Juszczyk. Okay, so Jake Butt's going to be great for Team Name Tuesday at the very least. And that's what I've learned in this segment presented by Buffalo Wild Wings. And Buffalo Wild Wings understands that being a fantasy football league manager, not an easy job. Sometimes you need people to regulate, but also you got to make a good first impression. That all starts with the draft or the auction. If you want your league to love you, book your draft party at B-Dubs. You're going to get a free draft kit. Enjoy a special draft feast of boneless wings, three sides, three shareables for a special price to feed your league. Come on in, get to drafting up some league manager love at Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports at participating locations while supplies last. News and notes, a few more for you. So LaMarcus Joyner for the Rams, their safety. Ziggy Ansah for the Lions and DeMarcus Lawrence for the Cowboys. Two defensive ends there, Ansah and Lawrence. Not signing their franchise tenders. Is this another tight end sleeper? Blake Jarwin for the Cowboys. He was frequently targeted by Dak Prescott, according to the Dallas Morning News during the offseason. Blake Jarwin.
I thought that Rico Gathers was going to be something for the Cowboys. He's probably going to get cut. So they've talked about how he's gained weight to try and improve as a blocker. He is, I think, fourth on the depth chart right now. It's not a good situation for Gathers at all. And this is the guy that he was an undrafted rookie free agent going into last year and is somebody that I think is in the Jake Butt category because of the opportunity. So not as talented as Jake Butt, but certainly the opportunity. Jason Witten has dominated targets for the Cowboys. He's been, you know, featured in this offense. And I think that's something that Dak Prescott will continue to lean on given the state of the Cowboys receiving core right now. So if he does hold off Dalton Schultz, I think you could see Jarwin as someone that has an opportunity to be one of these guys just to keep an eye on. Like part of tight end week, I'm writing number two tight ends that have number one upside. I don't know if he has that type of ability as a young player. Again, it's still his second season, but offense, situation, and again, the word we talk about all the time, opportunity, could lend itself to Blake Jarwin being someone that we're talking about during the season as a waiver wire guy.
Okay, Blake Jarwin for the Cowboys. I feel like he could also be very good for like Jarwin's theory of evolution, Jarwinism, right?
Yeah.
Feeling good. It, guys? Yeah, team names. Aaron Rodgers would like to play till he's 40. And that's good news if you own him in a dynasty league because Rodgers is only 34 years old. He'll be 35 in December. And Patrick Peterson says that Sam Bradford is a top 10 quarterback in the NFL when he's healthy and has talent around him. What do you think about it? Is that crazier than what I said about Evan Ingram?
I guess I would say it's more likely that he's healthy than he has talent around him this year.
Well, that is kind of a problem.
I mean, he has great receiver and one great running back.
And Ricky Seals-Jones.
Correct.
Yeah, but I will say this about Sam Bradford. In his last three games that he has started and finished, he has completed 75% of his passes, averaged 326 yards, and three touchdowns per game. Now, that does, of course, carry over through two seasons, last two games of 2016 and the first of 2017. But he's starting to play some better football, and the completion percentage is great. It actually, doesn't he seem like a great fit for Larry Fitzgerald?
He could be great for those two guys. And look, I would like to see Josh Rosen be the starter from week one because I think he's talented and has the potential to be a very good NFL quarterback. They paid him $20 million, Bradford. So it's going to be hard for him to, get stuck on the bench if he's healthy. I think the Cardinals are going to surprise some people. I still think that defense is good. I don't think that offensive line is as bad as being advertised, and they're getting their best player back with still a very good player in a complimentary role in Fitzgerald, if you want to call it complimentary with what he does, 100 catches for the last 3 years.
Let me talk a little trash to Jamie. I know who the Cardinals are going to surprise this year. You, when they're really bad.
Wow, your trash talk.
How was that?
Almost as good as your singing.
Yippee-ki-yay, Jamie. That's what I'm talking about. All right, so let's look at a little ADP. We've talked a lot about first and second round guys, so what I want to do over the next few weeks is just pick a round, not the first two, on Fantasy Pros, and look at some average draft position and who's overdrafted, who's underdrafted. So I'm going to do half PPR because when I did PPR, it was way too wide receiver heavy. It doesn't really give us a good mix. And I want to look at round three of a 12-team league. Those are picks 25 through 36 in half PPR scoring. And here's what average draft position looks like, beginning with pick number 25, which, to me, it surprised me, maybe a little early, I don't know, but you tell me. Jordan Howard is pick 25. Doug Baldwin, Aaron Rodgers, Travis Kelce. We can go four by four, four at a time, three times. Jordan Howard, Doug Baldwin, Aaron Rodgers, Travis Kelce. Well, first of all, LeSean McCoy is ahead of that group, so that could be changing, but Howard, Baldwin, Rodgers, Kelce. What do you think?
I think Baldwin and Kelce are borderline steals. Kelce for sure is. I think Baldwin's just a little late, not too far, maybe three or four picks too late.
Yeah, so overall, running backs are going pretty early here because like McKinnon's off the board, McCaffrey's off the board, but Jordan Howard, 25th overall. Interesting.
It's a little too early.
What are you confused about, Heath?
Who was gone in the top 24? We'll find out who the great values are. Sorry.
Okay. All right. We'll keep on going. Quiet. Howard, Baldwin, Rodgers, Kelce, Tyreek Hill, Joe Mixon, Adam Thielen, and Josh Gordon. Tyreek Hill, Joe Mixon, Adam Thielen, Josh Gordon.
These guys were ahead of them?
No, they're the next four. Mid third round picks here. Tyreek Hill, Joe Mixon, Adam Thielen, Josh Gordon.
I'm starting to get a little spilkies about Mixon in round three.
Oh, I'm the other way. I think he's great in round three.
I'd rather get him in round four.
I'd rather get him in round 10, but that's not realistic.
Yeah, he's not going to go in round four. Yeah, in a 12-team league. Maybe in PPR, he might, but you're going to have to... Yeah, we talked about it when we looked at Gio on our last show. Dave knows Gio's going to have a role, so he's not... That's the reason you're getting the Spilkies over.
Sure.
Joe Mixon. How about Thielen, Gordon, and Tyreek Hill? Not in that order. Hill, Thielen, Gordon.
Now, those are third-round wide receivers.
Yeah, I don't want Hill in the third round anymore.
Wait, Tyreek Hill?
Yeah.
Whoa, you're really down on him.
Yeah, I mean, he's not a red zone threat. I don't think that's going to change. I don't know if Patrick Mahomes, as big of an arm as he has, will be as consistent as a deep ball thrower as Alex Smith was last year. He was the best in the NFL.
What a sentence.
Yeah, very true. And I think the addition of Sammy Watkins is not going to help his target share.
So as you've moved Hill down, have you moved Watkins up a little bit?
Not really. I just think you're going to get kind of stagnant from Watkins, at least from my impression of what Watkins will be. And Kelsey's still going to obviously do what he does. Yeah. I don't think Hill's terrible. I just don't want him in the third round.
Yeah, he's my favorite of those receivers. Gordon is the one that I'd rather wait to the fourth for.
And then we have Zach Ertz, T.Y. Hilton, Stephon Diggs, and Derrick Henry. Remember, this is half PPR. Last four picks. Jamie.
Hilton's the one that's going to end up being too low.
Yes.
Because if luck is right, Hilton will push his way into the second round.
Hilton, Diggs,
and I think Ertz is
Henry,
too low,
Ertz.
Too.
Yeah. Ertz, Hilton, Diggs, Henry. There you go. Go ahead, guys. My bad.
Yeah, Ertz and Hilton are too low. Henry is just right. And I think in a league where catches count, Diggs is okay here.
Well, it's funny to say Ertz and Hilton are too low when they've got two quarterbacks with injury uncertainty. Ertz is in a better situation in terms of what we expect from the backup compared to T.Y. Hilton. But
sure. Well, obviously, if T.Y. Hilton doesn't have Andrew Luck and it's another year with Jacoby Brissett, then his ADP is going to sink like me in the deep end of a pool. But we're all expecting Andrew Luck to be ready for the start of training camp at this point.
Yeah.
We're all going to tune in when he plays in the preseason to see what he looks like. We're going to get reports every day about, well, Andrew Luck did this today and he looked all right. And he did this yesterday and he looks better today, but he might look worse tomorrow. We'll see. You can't make any definitive judgments now. Training camp doesn't open for Indianapolis for another week or so. And so once that happens, we're going to know what Andrew Luck looks like and we'll start to get a better idea. I don't think Andrew Luck comes to training camp and plays like Spurgeon Wynn and then shows up week one and he's Andrew Luck again. We're going to see him ramp it up and start to throw well. And if he throws an accurate football and he can throw it a little deep, it's awesome sauce for T.Y. Hilton.
I will say that I agree the two best values in the whole round, not just in this little section, are Hilton and Ertz.
And I will say this. It is eye-opening that there are two Vikings wide receivers going in the top 36. And where does Kirk Cousins go? He's QB8. He goes 78th overall. Is there another team? I'm just thinking off the top of my head. Is there another team that has two wide receivers going in the first three rounds? I don't think there is.
I don't think there is
either. Isn't
that
something? I mean, that's
interesting.
Do you
count Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce?
That you should. Yeah, that. No, but well, because you don't expect wide receiver numbers. Do you expect Stephon Diggs and Travis Kelce to have similar numbers? You probably do. Similar. Yeah. So sure, I'll count that.
They both finished top 17 in non-PPR last year and top 18 in full point PPR.
And I can't remember what it is, but I don't remember the exact stat, but Kirk Cousins has not produced a top 24 wide receiver. I don't know if it's like he hasn't produced a top 30 receiver, but he hasn't produced a top 24 wide receiver.
Who have they given him besides DeSean Jackson?
DeSean
and Pierre Garçon, right?
Sean.
I should retract that a little bit because those guys had 1,000-yard seasons.
Right. They were good, but
they were.
He spread the ball around a lot.
He did have a tight end that produced a top 24 wide receiver.
Oh, yeah. Jordan Reed had a great year. Jordan Reed was a top tight end under him. But
Kirk Cousins isn't a strike against Thielen and Diggs.
No, it's almost like the Eli Manning argument, but higher end. Like, how does Kirk Cousins not have an amazing season if we're drafting those two guys in the third round and we're drafting Kyle Rudolph as like a top 8 tight end or at least top 10?
Apply the same thing to Patrick Mahomes.
Absolutely.
And I think Kirk Cousins probably does have a pretty amazing season. But 8th is like, there are 8 amazing quarterbacks. Maybe
if there was a team where I was worried about pass attempts for the quarterback, Minnesota's it.
Yeah.
I don't think he's throwing quite as much as he did in Washington.
Yeah, I don't have the stomach for those guys in the third round, but maybe I should. Do you?
Diggs half point PPR, I can handle it for Thielen. And that's right about where Diggs is going to go. He's going to be in that late third to round 4 mix. A lot of people are going to draft him just because of how he finished in the playoffs last year.
I'm probably with you, Adam.
Because I like the round 4 wide receivers. Cooper, Fitzgerald, Alshon, Juju.
Yeah, I would take Larry Fitzgerald over every receiver that you have mentioned in this entire section except for T.Y. Hilton.
And I like the... I think I'm going to just be taking running backs in round 3. In many cases. All right, let's read some emails. FantasyFootball@CBSi.com. By the way, Jamie had to bounce. We started our show a little late today. He had to do some video work for CBS Sports HQ, which you can watch on the CBS Sports app, which you can watch on your Roku or your Amazon Fire or your Apple TV.
You can watch it on your laptop.
Watch it
on your phone.
Any streaming device. I watch
anything with the screen.
Yeah. What was the one Wi-Fi I was thinking of? I was going to say that everybody has. Whatever. All right, Keith from Santa Clara, California. Hey, Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Beef. I have to make a decision between Mixon and Collins. Why isn't Collins getting the same love as Mixon? And he even points out that some of us rank Collins higher than Mixon, but I guess the way we've been talking about the two of them, yeah, do you think Collins deserves as much love as Joe Mixon?
I think he deserves more.
I agree. I think we don't talk about him as enough because there's he's a little scary. Yeah.
What's scary about him?
His fumbling problems. Mm-hmm. His lack of a long track record.
Okay.
And Mixon doesn't have one either, but Alex Collins wasn't Joe Mixon coming into the NFL.
In the final half of 2017, Collins had 795 total yards, all six of his touchdowns, and zero fumbles in nine games. He had eight games with at least 15 touches. He was consistent. He showed underrated hands, and the Ravens have already committed to him as their lead back to begin the year. I think this is a running back who has a chance to finish as a top 12 guy.
Yeah, I've got him 13th in non-PPR, so I don't disagree. I just do feel a little queasy about it.
I don't think you should.
Do you think that Baltimore is committed to giving him a big workload?
Yes.
I don't.
I'd like to see how that plays out in the preseason. Well, that's good news.
I don't know that we're going to learn anything about that.
Right.
Well, I don't know. I'm not saying from the carries he gets in the games, but I'm saying more like the reports, the reps, what the reporters are saying.
Like, I've got him with 223 carries this year and 30 catches.
That's pretty good.
Imagine him running with Lamar Jackson under center.
That'd be fun.
I think that's when he could be at his absolute best.
Yeah, I can't wait until 2019, Dave.
I don't think it'll be 2019, Adam.
From Alan. Where's Alan from?
Alan is from Normandy, France.
I was looking over this. You hung out with him last week?
I didn't see him while I was there.
Oh.
It was 2 weeks ago.
I was looking over the strength of schedule. Thank you, Dave. Was wondering if I should jump a little early on Leonard Fournette since he has such a great schedule and take him fourth overall with David Johnson and Ezekiel Elliott still on the board.
No, and that's one of the things that I pointed out in the strength of schedule story is that it's a good tiebreaker to use. I don't think you should use that as gospel to make your fantasy picks. And as much as I like Fournette too, but I'm not taking him ahead of Zeke and David Johnson. But I do think that Fournette is very worthy of a first round pick.
I do not.
You're expecting regression there.
I have a lot of concerns about the success of the Jacksonville offense and how many offensive touchdowns they score, about his success on a per-carry basis, and about his foot and ankle.
I'm with you on the foot and ankle, but I'm willing to overlook that because I think he's got potential to have 10-plus games with 20-plus carries, 100-plus yards, and 1-plus touchdowns. I think he could have just a monster year. I do believe in the Jaguars' defense staying strong, by the way.
I think they will.
That's part of the reason why I'm a big Fournette guy. I'm not one of these people who think that Jacksonville's defense is going to fall off a cliff. I think they benefited last year from not playing Andrew Luck for two games and Deshaun Watson for one game or two games. I'm not sure.
They played Watson in week one. He came in that game.
Right.
I don't think they faced – I don't think Watson faced healthy – I don't think Watson faced Jacksonville.
I think this defense is good, and I love that the offensive line added Andrew Norwell.
Yeah.
That took a line that surprised me last year, and it made it even better with the best guard that was available to them.
I will give a little sneak peek, though, I think the Jacksonville defense is very good as well. I had to write about a DST bust.
And that's Jacksonville?
That they are going to be a DST bust for me this year.
Okay, this is from Patrick from the Bull City. Bull City, where's that?
Durham, North Carolina?
Where do they do the running of the Bulls?
That's in
Pamplona.
Yeah, Spain.
That's obviously where he's from.
Oh, okay. Hey, Russell, Cam, Tom, and Alex.
Quarterbacks.
Top four quarterbacks in fantasy. I don't think it was that order. Maybe 4 point per passing touchdown. Patrick says, keeper question. PPR auction, $200 budget. And we get two keepers. Dalvin Cook for $27 seems like a no-brainer. So who else from this group would you keep? Michael Thomas for $53. Alshon Jeffrey for $26, Cooper Kupp for $1, Deion Lewis for $1. It is PPR. He's keeping Cook for $27. He can choose Michael Thomas for $53 out of $200, Alshon Jeffrey for $26, Cooper Kupp for $1, Deion Lewis for $1.
You can make the case to keep Thomas, even though I think he's a little too expensive at that price. But then you could say, well, I'm spending $80 to keep Dalvin Cook and Michael Thomas, and that's a good start to my fantasy team.
I would keep Thomas and Lewis, because Lewis kind of helps balance that dollar per player out a little bit.
But you're never getting Dalvin Cook back for 27.
Well, no, he's... Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I would keep Thomas and Cook. I thought he wanted two more in addition to Cook.
I don't love keeping Michael Thomas for that price. But I can't get behind Lewis or Kupp even for a buck.
Really? At a 200? So how much do you think Lewis and Kupp go for in a PPR league $200 budget like Patrick is in? Because I was leaning
Cup. 5, 6, somewhere in that range.
All right, then it's not worth it for a dollar. Then just get Michael Thomas.
No, just to give you an idea, like I've got Michael Thomas with a PPR auction value of 26. So that's based on a $100 budget.
So that's 52.
52.
Yeah.
So it's a little higher, but not enough to really...
It's 53, right?
Right.
Yeah, it's the same.
One shekel higher. Go for it.
All right. From a guy north of Palm Beach, dear Lucky, Dusty, and Ned, I feel like Heath has never seen the Three Amigos.
Heath?
The three, like, how, which Three Amigos?
Which Three Amigos?
There's been multiple Three Amigos movies made.
There have?
Yes.
False.
Google it.
I'm Googling this.
Have you seen the original with Martin Short and Steve Martin?
The black and white one?
You're kidding.
Yeah.
Really? He's lying. All right, I'm thinking of going.
Who was in that? John Wayne? I can't see John Wayne going.
All right, guy north of Palm Beach. I think this confirms he's never seen Three Amigos. I'm thinking of going running back rounds 1 and 2 in a PPR league. Is this a bad strategy? I usually come away with Baldwin or T.Y. in the third.
It's fine.
And Edelman in the later rounds.
It's fine.
I just watched Die Hard, Let It Snow plays as the credits roll. Gotta be a Christmas movie, yippee-ki-yay.
Thank you, Guy.
You're wrong, Guy. I would say if you're going to take running back in round 1 and 2, you better make sure at least one of them catches a lot of passes, if not both. But obviously, I think in this case, you're probably taking like Le'Veon or Gurley or whatever, so you're in good shape. This is from Nichelle, from a city outside of Boston, Dave.
Let's go with... let's go a little farther outside of Boston. Let's go with Manchester, New Hampshire.
Dear Jay, Cameron, Phil, and Mitchell.
Modern Family.
Oh, you've seen that.
Outside. But did you see the original Modern Family?
The black and white one.
No, I did not.
1981.
It's a great show.
I didn't make black and white shows in 1981.
It was called The Facts of Life.
I changed my league to a super flex this season. I plan on taking an elite quarterback within the first three rounds. When would you recommend taking a second quarterback? Super flex.
I would say about the point the number 18 quarterback comes off the board, I'd start looking for my number 2.
And that would be a guy like who?
Tyrod,
Andy Dalton, Eli Manning.
I almost wonder if you kind of take the temperature of your draft as you gauge when to take that second quarterback. Because you don't want to be the only one to take two quarterbacks early. You'll feel like a heel.
Yeah. All right.
I mean, listen, theoretically, you'll have two really good quarterbacks, but if you could still get two really good quarterbacks with one in round 2 and one in round 7, wouldn't you rather do that rather than one in round 2 and one in round 3? I would. I might pay real close attention to how quarterbacks are going off the board, and they might go fast in this league. And if they do, then yeah, round 3, round 4, it's not a bad time. But get in on that second quarterback run. Or get in on a quarterback run when it comes to your second quarterback.
Yeah, that's why he was saying wait till like the 18th guy comes off the board and then start looking at it. It's amazing how much I don't play in a super flex, but we have a two quarterback league. How much my two quarterback league strategy has changed. Because I remember when like Nathan was on the show, we did a mock draft. Actually, we ended up playing it out. And I think this was before Heath was at CBS. Me, Dave, Jamie, and Nathan, or Dave, Jamie, Nathan, and I, we all took two quarterbacks with our first two picks. And we may have been the only ones. We were like, we're right. You got to do it that way. But now I would never do that.
Yeah. I don't normally even take one elite quarterback. I generally just wait until about 12 are off the board and then take two of them.
What'd you do in the fishbowl? Because that's a super flex league.
That is a super flex. I took three quarterbacks. I took Jameis, Tyrod, and Ryan Tannehill.
Oh, boy. So you didn't take one until round when?
I am pulling it up right now, but I think that was right around round 8 or 9. when I first took Jameis?
So I wanted to get a good, at least one good quarterback in that league. So I got Deshaun Watson with the top pick in round three. And then I waited for a quarterback run, and one went off right in front of me. Like bang, 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 five, six picks in a row. Quarterbacks that I had queued up were gone. Had to sell for Tyrod Taylor. I think that was about round eight. And because I didn't want to miss out on Baker Mayfield, because I just have to lock up that Browns quarterback duo, I took Baker Mayfield in round 10.
Yes, I took Jameis Winston with the 71st overall pick. I took Tyrod.
Wow, that's the end of round six.
Tyrod with the 95th at the end of the eighth round, like
yeah,
you.
Yeah,
and I took
Tyrod territory.
Tannehill at 119. But the reason I did that is my team starts off with Le'Veon Bell, Julio Jones, A.J. Green, Kenyon Drake, and Larry Fitzgerald.
That's pretty good.
So you have a combined 16 touchdowns from those five guys. LOL. I don't know. It's a great team. It's a great team. Okay.
I don't appreciate your tone.
We're done here.
I do.
We three amigos are out. And we will come back tomorrow with a little bit more tight end talk for you, some breakouts, and some more ADP review. For Dave, for Jamie, for Heath, I'm Adam. See you Wednesday.
Na, 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 na.
Nah.